It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. My name is Joey. That's Len. Len, it is very cold out today. My wife is taking a break, or was taking a break from our newborn earlier to take my dog to my in-laws' house, and had to come back inside to add additional layers. It's that kind of day. I've been told that this is the global warming era. We're melting ice caps. We're rising with the sea levels or whatever, wildfires. But we're adding layers. Len, you know?
It's climate change. See, those goalposts, they are never defined.
They're on casters. Moves. Those goalposts are on casters.
Yeah. they keep moving. The place. Yeah. Today is, and it's going to get really cold next week. It's going to be minus 10, minus 11 to highs for a few days next week. It was so cold yesterday, Joey, I burnt out my starter in my car. It's gone. It's finished. The starter is kaput. 23 years and 2 months. Well, 1 month, the starter is finally done. It's too bad. So sad. So I have to get a new starter.
Wow.
Yeah.
The car, are you going to do it yourself, the replacement?
No, it's too cold for me to do it myself. Mm. It's not a hard job to do. It's just, I don't want to deal with steel metal.
For sure.
And it's this cold. It's just not fun at all.
What are you going to do? Get it towed to a mechanic? Is that the plan? I guess
so. I already got it towed. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so I signed up to a plan that gives me CAA.
Anyone who down talks CAA, you don't know what you're missing for that price.
Well, considering my car, the age, it makes sense for me to have something like that. And so, like, just this one trip, it'd be worth it for me for the year. And
freebie.
Yeah, so the heck with it.
When I was driving the Volvo, I had engine trouble probably three times in about 4 months. And you get one tow a month, basically, on the house. Up to, I think, 8 during the year, which is pretty good. You can't beat that. And I think it only costs like $100 a year. Pretty sure it's not much.
We got a family plan, so
even better, probably.
Yeah. So it's just it's too bad. So that starter is now done. So that's how cold it is. That it beat the starter.
Very cold. Let's get into the newsletter here. So we'll start with last week's quote. This is number 383, by the way. Last week's quote: activism is a way for useless people to feel important, even if the consequences of their activism are counterproductive. I can hardly get through this. Are counterproductive for those they claim to be helping and damaging to the fabric of society as a whole. That was by Thomas Sowell. I don't know how you say his last name. Thomas Sowell, maybe? I think it's actually Sowell.
I think it is Sowell, yeah.
Yeah, so congratulations, Phil, on winning 382 quotes. Philip, I should say. And this week's quote, Len: I must create a system or be enslaved by another man's. I will not reason and compare. My business is to create. Deep, very deep. If you know the answer, put in the comments. No Googling, no searching. Encarta Encyclopedia on disc or book only. That's paper, for those of you who have not heard of
books. Do you still have an encyclopedia on paper?
No, my dad has a set at my childhood home that I will for sure at some point take from him. It'll probably be bittersweet, but I will definitely take those encyclopedias and have them for my daughter. I think encyclopedias are great. I remember when I was a kid looking up all the stuff that I could on ancient Egypt. I was obsessed in like grade 3 or 4. And I used to write little reports, like paragraphs on certain things. And my parents probably couldn't believe when I just became a terrible student in high school and then almost flunked out of my first year in university too, with all the good signs I was showing there. True promise. Not continued through my adolescent years. But anyway.
So what are you going to do with the books? You're going to keep it or you're going to donate?
Keep them for sure.
See, there's going to come a point in time in your life when you want to be a little bit more mobile, and stuff like that is just so difficult for you to carry.
They'll know that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
neat. Like, it's like a relic. It's a relic of a time when information was this. It was like, like when TVs were something you built a house around, they were so big. Information was this kind of revered, token that you kept in a visible spot in your house. It was like something you wanted people to see and you wanted to own. And that time is gone now, and you can be the judge, I guess, listener, viewer, of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I've always liked books. I don't have a Kindle. When I buy a book, I buy it hard copy and I read it and I like holding it and I like the smell of it and the pages and I write in it sometimes, and there's no substitute for that. And by the way, you know, you learn better, I think, when you're reading something in a, on a page as opposed to on a screen. That's anecdotal for me. I don't know if everyone's like,
no, they clinically prove that, but yeah. Audiobooks for me is the, I like that. And it sticks for me. I love the audiobooks.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Especially if you have some, if you're doing something that's mundane, that you're able just to take in something.
For sure.
And that's the best time to do the audiobook thing.
You know what I find? I take in the most information from podcasts when I'm playing a video game.
Driving for me.
Driving, I kind of black out and start thinking to myself. I shouldn't say black out. Hopefully my insurance company's not listening. But like, I start thinking for myself a little bit, or thinking to myself. But when I'm playing video games, I'm like locked in, but it's like a separate, it's hard to describe how I
Wow. Think about I can't that. Do that. Huh. If I listen to anything when I'm playing a game, I will absorb absolutely nothing.
Really?
I'm too focused. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just focused at the task at hand, and I forget something is in the background. Someone's listening to my wife talking. Keep talking.
Hopefully she's not listening either. Anyway, let's get started. We'll start with Adobe here. A company we don't often discuss on AOE.
I don't think we have. Do you have any Adobe products? Do you use Photoshop or anything along?
We used to use for the show when I was still a budding audio editor and hadn't figured out just how good Audacity was yet. For difficult to edit episodes, I was using Adobe's podcast AI. That was like 2 years ago, probably. And it's okay. But my wife's a big Adobe user. She's a graphic designer. Adobe's where she lives.
Well, hopefully she takes heed from what's being said here, because it looks like there's some vulnerabilities in Photoshop. And this is applicable to both people that have it on Windows and Mac OS. So it's not specific to either or. It encompasses them both. And the vulnerability is pretty nasty, because it could let an attacker manipulate the search path environment variable to point to a malicious library. So when Photoshop loads, it could then execute arbitrary code within the context of the current user. You don't want Photoshop to execute any code. It's not what it's designed to do.
No, sir.
I'm not a Photoshop user. I'm just, from what I use, it's just simply just editing pictures and stuff like that. Bunch of other things as well, but nonetheless, for this vulnerability, it could be exploited into tricking a user into opening malicious file. And once that's done, once they open a malicious file, then potentially arbitrary code execution is done. And so there's a lot of things that could go wrong with this. They say one of the things you could do is try to limit the permissions for the user itself that is using Adobe Photoshop. I'm not sure how many people do that, if they just have that simply one or just a couple of users on their computer and use that primarily to do everything and just load Photoshop and use it from there. But they say that's one way, just to limit permissions within users and have that user use Photoshop. Another thing also is you have to update your stuff, your Photoshop, and that should be able to deal with any of the problems out there. So yeah, and this is more of a word of warning for any Photoshop users. And looks like neither of us are, but maybe your better half is. So tell her to update her stuff.
She's on mat leave anyway, so it doesn't matter, not her problem. But the one thing I'll note is that Adobe, like many companies, went to this paid subscription model, this cloud model, I think 5-6 years ago now. And so what you actually have on your computer is like a, it's hard to explain. It's like a strip.
The front end.
Exactly. Great way to describe it. It is a UI as opposed to an actual piece of software on your computer. This is another example of something we've seen a bunch on this show, that the cloud services that were supposed to make things quote unquote more secure actually seem to be making them less secure, number one. And number two, this was done because people were pirating the software. There's no other reason you do this. When I was in university, I used to pirate all kinds of stuff just to see if I could. Adobe Photoshop, games, Nero CD burning suite software. Talk about remember that? And so I used to pirate all that stuff. And you know, when I was in university, it was so easy. If one guy in the dorm figured it out, everybody in the dorm had it on their computer. And now you can't do that, because they want you to sign in and do all these things and take all these steps, and it's in the cloud, and you got to, the permissions is the last thing I think that should be on the list. The first thing is Adobe should be looking at this and going, hey, we need to have a product that's secure, not something that has to travel between central servers and the user's PC or Mac, I guess, in this case. to execute on the task that this software is meant to execute. And instead, they're trying to like pin it on the user. Standard. We see this all the time. It's not quite as obvious as it's been in other stories, but this is something to keep an eye on. And more of these cloud services that are sort of parading around as native software, it's not going to end well for these guys. This is and Adobe's a big bounty too. PDFs can be malicious and execute files or execute scripts. I'm sure that Photoshop can do it. I'm sure that Illustrator can do it. And all these things are meant to be sort of fully featured pieces of software, not just for the average designer, but for like the expert, the true like creator in the space. What are you going to do? Are you going to start stripping down permissions and re-enable them and disable? Like, no, no one who uses the software is interested in doing that. The software's gotta work. And this model doesn't work. It's not working.
It makes me wonder how many people should start using stuff like this within a sandbox, like a, gosh, I forget the name of it, but
sandbox is in like partition like drive or something like that.
No, you could run it like a virtual server. That's it.
Virtual machine. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Run it like that. And so I have it on my computer and I totally forgot the name. So yeah, by doing that, you could limit things. And so nothing could really break out of that, so to speak. So you're still going to have some things within it because you're going to have a fully functioning operating system within that virtual machine. But still, if you use it properly in a way it should be used, it's not going to have a heck of a lot. So maybe like that's one way, but by using a virtual machine, you're really dumbing it down in terms of how much performance you're going to be able to squeeze out of it, because you're going to allocate X amount of cores to the virtual machine, X amount of RAM, and it's not going to be the whole thing. So it's a lose-lose situation. Let's be honest.
Nothing easy. Exactly. Nothing easy, right? Unless you just go back to the way that worked before, but then you
pirating. Yeah. Just go ahead.
And it affects your bottom line. Right. And these guys, they're showing over and over again that the money is what they care about, not the security or the quality of the software, over and over again on this show.
I'm going to burn a few CDs later with Nero. I got 40 OS and 40 proxy. I don't know if we've ever talked about them, these products before, but there's some issues that are with them. So I just want to talk about what they are first off. 40 OS and 40 proxy. 40 OS is, it's a FortiGate designed to provide network security for people, like the firewalling, intrusion prevention system, VPN, stuff like that. And FortiProxy, it provides web filtering, URL filtering, stuff like that. So each of these provide a level of protection for their end users. And I tried to find out who are their end users. It's typically large enterprises, small providers, education, healthcare. So it's a bunch of people that could potentially use this. And so I had to like lay this out first before I could talk about the problem. So each of the two things, the 40 OS and the 40 proxy, they have critical vulnerabilities that have been discovered not too long ago. And it's going to be able to provide access to attackers and potential data breaches. And this has been in the wild since November 2024. So it's not like it's been there for just a week or two. It's been there for quite some time. So the exploitation could basically enable them super admin privileges on the vulnerable devices. And that's pretty nasty. So again, they say that you should apply patches, upgrade to the newest version, and monitor for suspicious activity. But the reality is, how many people have been using this software? And big businesses, governments.
That's the story every time. Yeah.
So every time you go somewhere, you go to a healthcare facility, anywhere, and then you provide your information, you don't think about what happens to that information, how they're securing it, but they might be using this to help provide a barrier, but this is not doing a very good job at being providing a barrier, because they have been affected with these malicious attacks. So it just goes to show, like, in the end, as a consumer, we're dealing with a lot of this stuff indirectly, and we're gonna get pwned one way or another. It sucks. It's too bad. I don't know a way around it, because every time you go somewhere, you're going to have to provide some information, especially in like a healthcare and education sector, but it sucks.
Look at listen to the client list. Mohawk Industries, Druva, Pure Storage. You ever store anything of value in a storage unit? Be careful. PicPay, Alorica, Edward Jones. Sound familiar? Financial. CT Corp, RWJ, Barnabas Health. Travis Perkins and companies across various industries, healthcare, banking. You mentioned that. That's pretty important. And like, the thing about these honeypots is that you mentioned it. We talk about it all the time on AOE. They never tell you until it's come and gone, until the information's out there, until your address is on some, 8chan forum post, and then it's too late after that. And by the way, like there's no, as you mentioned, no way for you to avoid this. You can't, I mean, I guess you could, but you generally don't see people asking about the security suite that's being used at a company or a hospital before they go to get stitches, before they decide where to open a bank account, whatever, right? It's not something that the average person can do, does do, or should have to do. But as always, there's no real punishment for this. There's no penalty. There's no nothing outside of what? Bad press? Do these guys care about bad press? I doubt it. You know, no one cares. No one even knows about this except me and you. And I guess Mark and Maria. But that's it. You know?
You know what? Is it publicly traded? Yes, it is. Fortinet is publicly traded.
How'd they do? How they been doing?
The past 5 days, down 1%.
Whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo.
Last month, down 4%. And 6 months, they're up a whopping 58%.
There you go.
So, yeah, not too bad. It could be a lot worse. They could be investing in the banking system, which I'm not sure if you're following that, but a lot of people are getting wrecked in
all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
even if the banking system works for you, you're still getting wrecked.
Well, that's what it's designed to do, right? So it's doing exactly as intended.
Okay, go to the next story.
Let's talk about this any.run and analysis over there. They have found a link between a phishing campaign and the Storm 1747 group. And it just seems like a bunch of random numbers matched with a name. I'm not going to even rank that. It doesn't even... I'm going to give it like a 0 out of 5 if you want to give it anything. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah, it's a 0 for me too. Storm 1747. Unless it's supposed to be... Is it supposed to look like something? Is it supposed to be...
747, like the jet, but like, but what's the 1-4? I don't know. It's hard for me to figure it out. So that's why it's getting a 0. And the group, they've been known to leverage phishing kits like the Typhoon 2FA. And with that, they were able to create some very convincing fake login pages. And so with that, they were able to dupe users, such as like fake Microsoft login pages and stuff, and steal users' credentials. Well, looks like now they're going ahead and they're making some YouTube links to try to redirect users into providing and stealing their login credentials. I'm not sure who the heck is actively putting in their login credentials for YouTube or anything when it's being prompted for a page. When a page opens up and it's asking me for my login and username and password, clearly like this is a problem. You get away from that and you don't visit that website again. But people, they're giving up this information without any second thought. I don't know.
Quintile.
If somebody
bottom quintile, buddy. Bottom quintile.
They certainly have to be exposed to Bitcoin in terms of the ramifications if you lose your seeds. Because once they figure that out, maybe they'll stop giving away their username and password for their YouTube account to this Storm 1747 group. So, yeah, what else am I going to say about this besides just don't try to – just if something pops up and it's asking for your username and it's asking for your password for any of your accounts, make sure the link is legit. Like if you're going, for example, you're going to – the sports check website and you log in to like to purchase something and it's asking you for your sports check login name and password, you can probably think that's correct. But if you're just randomly going on a web page and it's asking you for your YouTube username and password, clearly there's a problem there and you should just steer clear of that. But still, people, they continually get duped from this. Like, this is like casting a wide net and still catching a few fish. It's pathetic, but still works in 2025.
I'm just unclear on how, like, you should go to the article here and look at the nature of the visuals on this. It's almost impossibly obvious. It's like an episode of Curb. Like if Larry ever got hacked by something and then Leon told him how dumb he was and Larry's like, you would have fallen for it too. And then he shows him and it's like horrific. Like this is the graphic they would show on the program. It's that bad. Again, you're talking about casting a wide net. I think there's a lot of people out there, Len, who are like really dumb, honestly. Hate to say it, but you see it everywhere, whether it's at traffic lights or in Access of Easy. You cast a wide enough net, like you mentioned, you're going to catch some fish. And tell me they didn't catch some fish here. You know, it's unbelievable this is somehow still happening. But I guess, you know, the other thing too is like, who's opening emails and whatnot with malicious links or from people they don't know? Who's left doing that? It's really the boomers, and that's it. There's no one else doing that at this point.
And doesn't this get filtered out by whatever email service
you Outlook use? Might not do it. I mean, the picture in the article is from Outlook. I don't know if Outlook does it. Gmail for sure would filter this out. You'd never see this in your Gmail account.
In a work environment, I use Outlook, and it does do a pretty good job at filtering
sometimes, out. But sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I still get garbage.
Ah.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Nothing. They all suck. Yeah, I don't know. There's no good way to do this except anyone over 65 should be banned from computers. Is that the answer? You're banned.
Meta stock's going to tank because nobody uses Facebook anymore, right? That's basically 90% of their user base.
Oh, man.
FBI, they've recently removed something called the PlugX malware, and they removed this from a bunch of US computers totaling 4,000 and change. And this PlugX, it's a sophisticated and persistent piece of malware. They say it's linked to the Chinese state-sponsored hacking group. I love this name, Mustang Panda. I like that a lot. Whatever reason, I'm going to give a 4.5 out
that's
of five.
That is a banger name, Mustang Panda.
I don't know
Panda.
Why. Yeah, it's yeah. Something about it. Just
That is great. That is great.
Resonates with me. So the FBI, they were able to get to the bottom of this because they were also in collaboration with international law partners. And they were able to leverage a unique approach. They exploited a built-in self-delete function within the PlugX malware itself. And by issuing commands through a compromised command and control server, they triggered a self-destruct mechanism, effectively wiping out the malware from infected systems. That's a pretty good way of doing it. So, it's all points back to the Chinese state-sponsored Mustang Panda. China is going to go crazy in the next little while with trying to exploit and try to extract data, especially with Trump coming in the next few days.
With Trump coming in, TikTok is being banned in America. Like, they're losing some avenues that were readily and easily available to them in the next like 2 weeks, significant ones.
Yeah, and then on top of that, there could be economic problems that come along, because if there's going to be sanctions or some sort of more tariffs that are going to be implied to Chinese made goods, then obviously it's going to drive up the price, and it's going to be harder to do business with Chinese companies. And China's bread and butter is the United States. So if they're going to make it harder to do business with the U.S., the next 4 years, I think it's going to be absolutely bonkers with respect to stories like this. And we may not hear a lot of it. A lot of them might get squashed. A lot of them may never be reported. Or we may hear about them years after the fact, because let's be honest, trying to catch something, it's kind of like a cat and mouse game. And often the mouse has a head start, and that cat is just doing its level best to try to catch it. So not much else to say about this, but the FBI and international law enforcement, they found a really cool way to get rid of this stuff.
I think so too. This is one of the cooler sort of ends to a story. Most of the time we hear that there's a breach or a vulnerability and they couldn't figure it out, or were able to identify but couldn't arrest anyone or whatever. This time they managed to not only identify and destroy, but seem to have wrap this up. It's like we're never hear about this again. I don't think, which is too bad, because that's really a great name for a hacking group, and we're never going to get to say it.
Yeah, maybe it'll spin off or something. I don't know. Gravy Analytics. That's it's a US-based location data broker. Gravy Analytics. I'm going to have to rank this name just because I'm principal, and I give it maybe a 1 out of 5. It's so
really
top. Gravy Analytics.
Come on. Have you seen the logo?
Yeah, I have.
You still didn't like it? You still don't like it?
No, just something about this doesn't jive with me for whatever reason. I don't know. It sounds too Western to me. I don't know. Anyways, I'm more of a whatever. So they're responsible for, they collect vast amounts of location data from millions of mobile devices. And the problem with this, well, they're facing criticism for their data collection privacy practices and also user privacy, in terms of protection of it, because it looks like there was a significant data breach. Uh-oh. So these guys, they've been collecting years worth of location history, like the GPS coordinates and IP addresses from millions of devices. And it was picked off a lot from apps like Spotify, Candy Crush, Tinder. Stuff like people just want to install because they want the instant gratification. And well,
Well, Spotify is a music app, right? But it does give you stuff that's popular in your region. So I, you know, fuck that. Oh, sorry. No swearing allowed. That does suck though. That's an app a lot of people use, and it's not one you really think of in terms of your security.
You know? Why would you give up your location for Spotify?
Because you have to give a billing address. And so when you give a billing address, your credit card is linked to a location. Not a lot of people know this, but when you buy a phone, an iPhone, and you want to set your country, it verifies that you're not lying about your country the first time you try and make a payment on the phone. The phone will look at your credit card number and the billing address, make sure they match, and then off you go, because your credit card number has baked into it a region. And so all this stuff is working in the background. So Spotify obviously gets your information as well when you pay for the service. And that's how they get, I'm guessing anyway, that's how they get the location. And then that location is baked into your user ID or into some metadata somewhere in the app, and off you go.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I've used a VPN for so long, and I've been located in the United States as per the VPN, that my Google account, they changed my terms and conditions from Canadian to US not too long ago.
See?
They for some reason, they said, you know what? You're no longer Canadian. You're now American based on your VPN. It's like, oh, beautiful. Yeah, give me all the US content that I could get. And I don't belong there. I'm in Canada, so it's harder to find me. Either way, the breach, it's quite a lot of it. It's 17 terabytes worth of data, and they're threatening to publish it. And yeah, so like if you're one of the users of one of these apps and you potentially have been impacted by this, like I don't know what you could do. Clearly you're impacted, but you don't want your coordinates given up. You don't want your IP address. You don't want your history. If there's a pattern somebody could create with you, and that's a lot of control they could have over you, because if they can figure out when you're leaving the house, when you come home, then who knows? There's a lot of people, the cars are being stolen these days, homes are being broken at a record pace these days. And if they could have a profile on an individual about when they're vacating the house, just based on the habits, well, you know, stuff like this, be very careful when you give up any information to any app, because you never know what's going to happen in the future.
Okay, two things I want to note from this article. The first one, I'm just going to read from it because it's worth hearing this again. Unicast, founded in Norway in 2004, merged with Gravy Analytics in 2023 to create what it touted at the time as one of the largest collections of consumers' location data. Are you sitting down? Gravy Analytics claims to track more than 1 billion devices around the world every day. That's a big number. Here's the best part, though. In its data breach notice filed with Norway, Unicast said it identified on January 4th that a hacker acquired the files from where, Len? Its Amazon cloud environment through a misappropriated key. If you ever used AWS, they give you keys to each like virtual task you're running, and the key lets you, you know, change the parameters and all that stuff. It's been a while since I used that, so I might be misspeaking a little bit, but that's generally how it works. Unicast said it was made aware of the breach through communication with the hacker. Hacker told them, but the company gave no further details. The company said its operations were briefly taken offline following the breach. That is a greatest hit right there, right? You have a billion devices being tracked, probably unknowingly. Who knows? Me and you might be in there. We probably are. The data breach notice, right? Filed with the government before it was filed with the users. Amazon cloud server is the place where the vulnerability was. They only find out because the hacker told them. They take the services offline. They don't give any more details. That's hitting for the cycle is what that is. And it's unbelievable that they get away with that. Is it not? It's like the same story over and over again with these cloud services and the reporting and it's garbage, man. Complete garbage.
And they'll continue to do business.
That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only option you have as a retailer. That's it. Or a retail person. That's all you can do.
Well, retail, it's somebody is using their information. Somebody's selling their information to them. So you got to cut off that at the source, but it's not going to happen. There's not going to be regulation to stop it. They're going to continue to operate. Information is going to be continued collected. And as more and more information gets collected, as you said, it's a honeypot. Like these things, you know, people want to get access to this stuff. As the information becomes bigger and more valuable, more ability or more opportunities to attack it, it's going to happen. And here you go.
Good luck. Have fun. Take care of yourself. That's the end of Access of Easy 283.
Stay warm.
383, what did I say?
Don't burn your starter.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Make sure you wear your hat. Go Bills this weekend. It's supposed to be a crazy game against Baltimore. Lamar, Josh, snow, minus 20 in Buffalo.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's going to be a chilly day.
Yeah.
So
I hardly ever get excited for football then, but the playoffs so far have been a bit of a waiting game for this week. A lot of good games this week. A lot of good games. Probably this will be the best weekend of football of the year.
I have nothing to say. I haven't watched football in like almost 15 years.
Great. Okay. Well, till next time, everyone. Take care of yourselves.
Take care.